The Bloody Podcassacre with Zach Walters and Kennedy Catherine.
Hello.
Hello.
We're here.
Yes, happy October.
Did we even talk to these folks in September at all?
I think in the beginning. We were a little busy.
Things happened.
I moved.
You did?
We had the wedding.
That's it. Yeah. That's my life.
We had a nice little birthday party for your roommate, our friend.
Yeah. We were prioritizing our personal and social life because we did see each other, which is nice. Sometimes when we don't record, we don't see each other. But
yeah, so we had a nice little brunch and then we played a heated game of Hues and Cues.
Oof.
It is a great video.
It's heated.
Very. My favorite part in that video is you guys are in your heated discussion, you and your roommate.
Which was in a game of Hues and Cues, which if you've never played, it's essentially a color association game. So you have a specific hue of a color that you have to signal to the rest of the group what that color is without saying it.
With one word.
With one word. And so, yeah.
Yeah. But so I took a video of Kennedy and her roommate fighting and the rest of the group. No one was looking at you. Everybody is looking somewhere else, like away from you, because it's just like we had to give you guys your personal space yelling on the couch. And it was just, it was funny in the moment,
too.
I was laughing. But yeah, that was really, really great.
That was a fun bonding experience.
It was. Mm-hmm. We'll probably never play it again. One thing that I told your roommate I would talk to you about on the podcast.
Okay.
Is how you aren't in love with the Miami Boys Choir. On TikTok.
Is this what you have to talk
to
me about?
Yeah, this is what I'm about to get into. They are iconic. It's so great. It's so catchy.
Okay. Say again what they are.
The Jewish Miami Boys Choir from 2007.
Right.
That is having the like renaissance on TikTok right now.
I just don't want there to be any confusion about me being an anti-Semite. That's not what's happening.
That's not
here.
The case, no.
It's just that it's a youth boys choir. When first that was played for me, I thought, I don't understand what the attraction is here. Mm. It's one of those things where if you catch someone in the right mood and you bond over it, like you're going to have a lasting affection for the Jewish Youth Boys Choir. If you're on the outside, you're going to say, I don't know what the fuck is happening here. And that was me.
It's just like amazing to me. Choreographed dance moves. They all can sing their like hearts out.
They are very talented. This
and
is true.
Get it. But now like members from 2007 who are in their 30s, there was a guy named David and he was singing it at a piano. They showed his original version then him at the piano. Aww. Being like, and then someone just said, Shalom, Daddy.
Oh my God. Do you remember Rabbi Shmuley?
It sounds familiar to me.
It's just that there's rarely a religious man who doesn't fall from grace, so I'm very skeptical of endorsing him right now. But he had a show on TLC that was called Shalom in the Home. And it was one of TLC's highest rated shows.
Oh my gosh.
And we were invested.
The name sounds familiar. I don't think I could say that I've watched an episode. L'chaim. Anyways, I'm sad that you're not in on it because it is kind of fun.
You haven't tried to get me into it.
Don't get me started. Horror news. Mm-hmm. Let's get into it. There's been some stuff that's been announced, movies that have been released.
Oh, can I just tell you really quickly that I saw the buzzed, the...
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Controversial film, Don't Worry, Darling.
Yeah, I want to hear your opinions on it because I spoke to your roommate about it when we went out for separate brunch without you.
Have you seen it?
I haven't yet.
Okay.
So I kind of heard bits and pieces, but I'm like intrigued to know what you thought about it.
I would be interested, honestly, to do it on the podcast. It is not a horror film, though it has more thrilling themes. Mm-hmm. I would equate it to like a Stepford Wives feel, which does toe a line. And once again, horror is whatever is horrifying to you, and aspects of this movie could be very much horrifying to certain people. This movie feels like there was a brilliant writer who had a genius nugget of an idea. They wrote out an outline. They pitched it. They got the green light to go ahead, and then they died. And their assistant, who was like, I was in the room, but I was not paying attention, very confidently was like, I can finish that. Because it is trying to say something without actually adding anything to a conversation. It's not as smart as I think it hopes to be. It's one of those things of like expectation management. Was it supposed to be that smart, or was it just supposed to be like a fun, beautiful cinematic watch? It was a beautiful cinematic watch. It just wasn't that interesting, and it wasn't that intellectual. That's it.
How was Florence?
Fantastic. She's always great.
Great, great, great. That's all I needed to know. I see that Harry Styles is getting roasted for
Think he was that bad.
I've just been seeing all of his movies recently. Well, he has two, but both of them are not doing well in critics. But we don't trust critics, even though we kind of are acting like some of them.
We are critics in our own right.
True, true, true.
I am not a Harry Styles fan in the sense that I didn't listen to One Direction music, and mm-hmm. I don't know much of his solo music, so I am not a Harry Styles stan. And I don't know anything about him to like endorse him. In fact, I think I've been fairly critical of him in a lot of ways. I think that the criticisms about his performance feel largely unfair because I don't think his performance was intended to be the main performance. Mm. He was never a scene stealer by any means. I didn't see where he was outright bad. Like, the criticisms to me of the entire movie and the acting feel disproportionate to what the actual quality of the film is.
I also think probably a lot of people have high expectations because he is a musician that he can do these other things like act, but he hasn't been in a speaking role before. He was in Dunkirk, Eternals, a Marvel movie at the very end. He had like two lines. He had a cameo. So like this is his first like acting gig, I would say. So I think people should give him some sort of slack.
I think just the entire conversation and narrative around that movie as a whole like opened the door for just undue criticism. And once again, if it was a movie that was claiming to be super smart, that was claiming to be sending some sort of critical social messaging, yeah, you deserve all of the criticism. But I don't think it ever claimed to be that.
I do need to go watch it.
You do.
I went and watched Barbarian. I briefly told you about it. It's one of those movies that I don't want to give a lot of way because it's a lot to it. It's very overhyped, in my opinion. A lot of it was like, go into it completely blind, like, don't know anything. Best movie in so long. I see a lot of resemblance to a lot of other movies that I've seen. One in particular, but I don't want to say it because it'll give kind of it away.
Right.
Yeah, I just didn't really care for it. And I'm disappointed. But a lot of people seem to be loving it. It's another one of those, like, introductory horror for people who have never seen horror movies before.
Okay.
Is what it feels like. There is like three gore moments that are like pretty gory. But other than that, it felt like like separate movies within movies. And so I was kind of disappointed. We also both watched, this is not horror news, we're just, this is horror catch up. There is some news though, which is fun. We both saw the movie Fall.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I totally forgot about that.
Very simple concept for a movie.
Very simple and yet also very original in a lot of ways. Unless, of course, they stole from something that I don't know about.
Well, pretty much another movie called 47 Meters Down. It's just opposite. It's up in the air.
Plot twist was twisty.
It's the same plot twist in 47 Meters
Down. It is?
Yep.
It's the exact same.
Oh, no. Yep, it is.
Then I take back what I've said.
Yeah. I don't know how you felt. I think we did talk about this. Sweaty the entire movie.
I am not usually a person who's like a big fan of movies like this, and I will say there's a lot of issues with this movie. I was like, my palms and my feet were slick.
It's just like there's something about watching people just like standing on a small little thing at the top of a tower that you're like, if I was in that position, like, what is it collectively that we all, because I watched it with two friends of mine, we all were in the same position of being like sweaty and like chilled, that like seeing somebody up on heights gives us like such anxiety.
I think that's probably just a biological, evolutionary, you know, survival instinct, because that is inevitable danger at that point. There's really not a lot of options. There's no way to get down hugely safely. That is my biggest issue with this movie. I don't want to give anything away in terms of like the plot twist, but if there's a character or characters who get down, we do not see it.
I know. It makes me mad. I was like, we're just going to skip over?
Like, you watch an entire movie of these people at the top of this Signal TV tower, and you're like, okay, I just can't wait for, like, the satisfactory moment of them finally nothing. It's so infuriating.
No, and I was just like, okay, well, we're just wrapping up the movie.
Yeah.
Fun watch. Some new movies coming out. the Hellraiser reboot. Jamie Clayton's playing Hellraiser. She is a trans woman who was in Sense8. But this reboot looks really, really good. It's coming out on Hulu, I think, on the 7th.
Mm-hmm.
That Smile movie.
I feel like I'm one of few people who is looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, I'm not.
It's a very standard studio horror film.
An old coworker of mine messaged me that she went and saw it and that it was creepy and that she liked it more than Barbarian. But also the marketing for that movie has been fun. Essentially, their marketing team has gotten people to just like stand in event crowds or large spaces just like smiling creepily for like prolonged periods of time.
And you don't realize that something that is so often innocent and kind of enjoyable can be so fucking scary.
Yeah, I hated those videos, but I will watch the movie. They announced a new American Horror Story.
New York City. Meh.
It'll be fine.
I'm kind of over American Horror Story.
Me too. I've fallen off the tracks.
Me too.
Pearl came out. I haven't seen it yet.
Me neither.
I've heard it's fantastic.
I can't wait to see it. It was between that and Don't Worry, Darling. Mm. And I just knew that I wasn't quite amped enough for Pearl on that night.
They announced a third movie, Maxine.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited for that as well.
I think that one will be more interesting to me than Pearl.
I agree. But like everybody's saying that Pearl is so much better than X.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I just think the story of like a preacher's daughter turned harlot is fascinating to me.
You're right. You're right. I agree with that. Halloween Ends comes out in a couple weeks.
Can't fucking wait.
I'm so excited.
I can't wait for us to go back to the theater and do the same shit all over again.
Was it last year it came out or was it the year before?
No, it was last year.
And then the last thing, A Man We Hate and a rapper have come together for a 3-picture horror movie deal.
Okay.
Eli Roth.
Oh, God.
And 50 Cent.
Okay.
Are making 3 movies. So there's one called The Gun.
Okay.
About a young man with a bright future who seeks to get revenge on his father's murder, finds a gun that is haunted by an evil force.
Sounds horrible.
Trackmaster, a rap duo uses a beat of a mysterious origin in their new single and accidentally unleashes an ancient spirit that brutally murders anybody who hears it.
It's giving Leprechaun in the Hood.
Yes. And then Creature House. After the untimely death of a legendary makeup and visual effects guru, a group of his friends and foes gather at a studio only to find themselves trapped in the horror movie museum from the artist, and the exhibition creatures supernaturally come to life.
Mm-hmm.
So, very interesting. All of those sound not up my alley.
Yeah, no, me neither. And if it was just 50 Cent...
Sure, by all means. I love it,
but it's fucking Eli Roth.
Yeah. I feel like there's been a lot of horror stuff recently.
It's the season.
I know. True.
We both watched Hocus Pocus.
Yeah. Two. Yeah. It was fun.
I liked it. It's cute.
Yeah. I'm sure there's more. Been away for a while. Back in business.
With our bodies.
Acclaimed movie.
I'm excited.
And not so acclaimed movie by some.
By Lena Wilson.
Yes.
Who I would just like to circle back because I think it was our last episode where we talked about Lena Wilson's startling review of Bodies, where she called it a endorsement or an advertisement, an hour and a half advertisement for cleavage.
And a promotion for Charlie XCX's new song, Hot Girl.
At that time that I had stated my opinion about her review, I actually had not seen the movie. I have now seen the movie and I even less agree with her. Didn't know that was possible. It is so upsetting to me that another woman would look at another woman in a completely standard bathing suit. What's her? Rachel Sennett?
Mm-hmm.
Was wearing a one piece.
Yep.
Amanda Stenberg is also wearing a tank top.
With a flannel over top.
And a sports bra on underneath. They simply have bodies. And that is the problem. Unless they put them in a high neck shirt.
Unless they put them in pasties also. That would be so... Like, there's complete... These are normal clothing.
I am not usually one for quote-unquote cancel culture, which I have complicated feelings about whether or not I think cancel culture really exists. Or if we're just... asking people to take accountability and then sometimes it turns into like an unfortunate mob mentality with the internet. But I don't mind that this woman is now off the internet and thinking about the way that she talks about things. Like, yeah, you got a job at the New York Times because your dad works there, even though you say it's just that you have a natural ability for criticism, which...
Okay.
I don't know. That's not really like a thing to brag about.
No, everybody does, I feel. Lena,
yeah,
goodbye.
That's really disappointing.
Also, in the fact that like, is she queer?
She is queer.
For her as a queer woman to now also fight another queer woman, what did you want to get out of this?
And I know we've said it before. I know we talked about it. But the justification that she was doing it because she doesn't want someone with quote-unquote more social power to feel like they can get away with that is so hypocritical. She sent her a private direct message that she intended to be slightly flirtatious. Do I think it was worded super well?
No.
Not really, but like whatever. She had an intention behind it that didn't land. We've all been there. And then to publicly air that out and be unable to reflect back any of what anyone is saying to you about why that was wrong, you shouldn't have that job then.
Mm-hmm. If you can't take critiques on your work about critiquing, like that's just like not the line you should be in.
Well, no, because that's
just just write something else.
Yeah, it just shows that you do not have any way. It just shows you have no way of looking at things objectively.
Mm-hmm.
That you can't step back from something and your own point of view to understand. And nobody wants that out of somebody who's reviewing a film.
Which we are about to do.
Pop off. But you know what? Stunning endorsement from us. Yes. I loved this movie.
It is so fun.
So fun.
My one friend who I went with hated it.
What?
Yeah. She did not like it. She thought it was going to be more scary.
Mm.
And I knew it was going to be like a horror comedy.
And it's not even really horrifying. There is no real gore. Most of our kills happen off of camera.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of like a whodunit.
Yeah. It has like the skeleton for a thriller, but like fills it with the comedy.
And it is funny. It is actually funny. It is
funny. So funny. The script is perfect. Mm-hmm. The characters and the way that they like have their relationships with each other and are like portrayed is really, really well done. I still don't really like Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson's character is not likable though.
I just don't like Pete Davidson either.
I don't really know anything about him.
I don't either, but I have a feeling I don't like him.
Fair enough. You need to be more objective in your criticisms.
So sorry. I will watch something else. SNL. I've seen him on SNL. I didn't like him there either.
Listen, you're entitled to your opinion.
But all in all, this is like a horror movie that is like about and for Gen Z.
This is, in my opinion, going to be like this generation's Scream. They're clueless. They're Mean Girl because it's written from the perspective of making fun of Gen Z at their level.
Yes.
Rather than like, I'm a middle-aged white man poking fun at what makes me uncomfortable about your generation. It's we're all in on the joke.
Yeah.
We're pointing out the stuff that even you think is laughable, that your friends might say, that you'd be like, oh my God, I wish we didn't all fucking talk like this.
I know. And it's just like, it's so of the times.
Yes.
And it's just like, you kind of cringe watching because you're like,
oh, I've done that. Yes.
That is me. And I'm like, oh, I hate it. One thing that I saw online was somebody said, this movie is if someone made an AI for horror based on someone's Twitter account. Yes. And that this is the movie.
That is the best review.
And I was like, yeah, 100%. It really is. It's just like an AI bot being like, throw in Gen Z slang, add some slasher horror bits and a little mystery, and there it is.
But I wonder if for younger Gen Z, like I was talking about my girlfriend's son potentially seeing this and how he's a teenager, but I was like, I don't think that he would quite be there yet as a Gen Z kid. I think it's more for like the college years, because there is like some nuances there where it's not quite that funny for people who aren't critical enough of their own selves to poke fun at.
That makes sense.
But I do wonder if somebody who was 18 or 20, 22 saw this movie, if they would say to us, like, no, it is, as a Gen Z person, I don't think this is funny. I think this is what you as a millennial think of us.
Gen Zs, if there are any of you listening and have watched this movie,
let us know.
In the private DMs. I don't want you to roast us online. Please.
Please. I've been just roasted online enough.
Yeah. Interesting perspective.
Yeah.
Now I'm curious.
We are towing the line. You are towing the line of, right? You're almost Gen Z-ish.
Yeah, I don't really know where the cutoff is. It's literally our friends.
Yes, it is.
And it's also just how everybody's portrayed on social media right now. It's the way that they talk.
When they talked about gaslighting.
Yes.
Like, mental illness is a really important topic. I've never told anybody this, but I have body dysmorphia.
Oh my God.
It was like, I've had that conversation with someone in a bathroom at a bar. Like, that's just...
Yeah.
That is the zeitgeist that we're in.
But yeah, this movie is more of a comedy, I would say, for sure. It's a social commentary and satire overall. I think it worked well. I know that we've had a conversation where I'm hit and miss with horror comedies, but I think where it makes fun of something that's like relevant is where I find joy in it. Like, I was thinking of The Final Girl.
Yeah.
Final Girls? or I don't know, that one movie where it's like making fun of them being in a horror movie.
Right.
I think that that is such a great movie. Mm-hmm. I do like horror comedy, but it has to be like very specific.
It has to be clever.
Yeah.
It can't just be like campy and then also bad comedy.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think it's just like kind of like, I want to say it's realistic to how a lot of us would act in a situation like this.
When Rachel Sennett gets shot.
Yeah.
And says, I've never been shot before. It fucking hurts.
Yeah, like that would be me.
100%. Should anyway. We just go through the synopsis?
Yes.
Okay.
I need a little refresher. I saw this in theaters, I don't know, a month ago. Yeah.
I watched it last night.
So okay. I'm ready for my little refresher.
Well, the movie starts with a solid makeout scene. Yeah. Apparently people walked out.
Well, because it was families that took their... I saw that people were walking out because it was families that walked out. You're taking...
Why did you take your kids in the first place?
I don't know. People are stupid.
They are stupid.
It's also like, look at the rating. Going to like a horror thriller comedy.
About murder, which was pretty clear from the trailers.
It's a poster. P.T. Vincent is holding a machete.
What more did you want?
Like... You can see my facial reaction.
Absolute idiots. The movie starts with B, a young woman from Eastern Europe who's traveling with her wealthy girlfriend Sophie to a hurricane party, which is essentially just a party where everyone's going to hunker down and live out the storm together at a mansion owned by the family of Sophie's childhood friend David. Other guests include David's girlfriend Emma, podcaster Alice, her much older new boyfriend Greg, and an aloof Jordan. Another guest, Max, left after a fight with David the night before, so he is not there when they arrive. After drinks, drugs, and dancing, the group decide to play Bodies, 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 a murder in the dark style game. The game ends when Greg goes to bed early and David leaves after a fight with his girlfriend Emma. As the storm worsens, the power goes out. Minutes later, B finds David outside with his throat slashed. The group try to go for help in Sophie's car, but find that the battery is dead. Greg is suspected as David's killer after the group discovers he has a bag with a knife and a map of the area. They confront him. Initially disbelieving, Greg eventually realizes that they're serious and returns the hostility. After a struggle, B bludgeons him to death with a kettlebell. The group doubt that Greg was actually the killer, and Emma theorizes that an unseen Max, who had confessed his feelings for Emma, returned to kill David that day. Sophie, a sober addict, does cocaine, and Emma kisses her before taking some pills. Alice later finds Emma dead at the bottom of the stairs and believes the group is being killed off one by one. Jordan and Alice cast suspicion on B, revealing that no one with her name is on record as having graduated from her college. They throw B out in the hurricane. Returning to Sophie's car, she finds underwear that matches Jordan's bra in the back seat, and then sees Jordan holding David's father's gun through a window, and then crawls back into the mansion. B confronts the group, revealing that she dropped out of college to take care of her mother, who has borderline personality disorder. A vicious verbal fight ensues between the group. Jordan, revealed to have been the killer in the Bodies, Bodies, Bodies game, expresses resentment for Sophie's drug addiction and using David to regain access to her trust fund, and claims Sophie cheated on B with her. Sophie denies it, saying she avoids her friends because their behavior challenges her sobriety, and reveals that Jordan only, quote-unquote, hate listens to Alice's podcast. After Alice angrily defends herself and her podcast, Jordan shoots her in the leg. A struggle for the gun follows until Alice is shot in the throat. As Sophie and Jordan fight, B pushes Jordan over the staircase banister. With her dying breath, Jordan tells B to check Sophie's text messages. Frightened and unsure what's happening, B hides from Sophie in the house. When morning comes and the storm has blown over, Sophie tearfully confesses to B that she relapsed and witnessed Emma falling down the stairs to her death. However, B holds her at gunpoint, demanding to see her texts, but Sophie tosses her phone into the mud, and as they both fight to get it, inadvertently pick up David's phone in the process, which shows that David accidentally slashed his own throat trying to use a sword to open a wine bottle for a TikTok video, revealing that from the beginning, there was no real murderer. As B and Sophie realize the night's bloodshed was all for nothing, a confused Max returns to the mansion, and the power comes back on.
Real killer was the friends we killed along the way.
Literally. It's just so good.
I know a lot of people did not like the ending.
Why? What's the criticism?
I think that like the reveal that there wasn't actually a killer, a lot of people were disappointed with.
I can see that.
I can too, but... I feel like if there was a real killer, I think the whole take on, like, the satire with Gen Z wouldn't hit the same. it would like act as if their actions were justifiable and they were all innocent. At the end, like, it's the self-obsession that all kills them with, like, their friend group.
Yeah, and, the like, self-obsession. The hatred toward
each other coming out after conversation after conversation.
Yeah, it's like that idea that you have a history with these people where you both love them, but you fucking hate them and you mm-hmm. don't actually want to be around them, and you're just kind of like forcing a thing that shouldn't be forced anymore. Mm-hmm. And then it all culminates into this one sort of like boiling over, and it's all of their self-obsession and it's all of the resentment and it's everything that forces them into this position that they ultimately did not need to be in.
Mm-hmm. Rachel Sennott. Rachel is the pinnacle of this movie.
She is the breakout star.
If you haven't seen her in Shiva Baby, I would highly recommend it. It is a comedy movie, but it's also like a low-key thriller the way it feels.
It's also slightly dramatic.
Yeah.
It's like a sort of coming-of-age tale that happens in one day. It's sort of mm-hmm. like a Duplass Brothers feeling
venture. If you're in Canada, I believe it's on Crave right now. It might be gone. It's very short also. It's like just over an hour. Mm-hmm. Very, very good. She is also amazing in that movie.
She is.
I was going to say, do you know also that she mostly became, I want to say, famous from like Twitter and Vine?
Oh, yeah, I did know that.
What? It's LA. And I think they dance around to 212 in that video, or she does. Mm-hmm. And they use it in the movie. And I was like, it's a nice little nod.
That is a nice little nod. I think the thing about her is she is just so likable, even when they're trying to make her, like, not that likable.
Yeah, it's the delivery of every one of her lines. It's like she's trying to, like, make it comedic, and it comes off even more funny, almost. I just, like, I want her in, like, a Broad City style show, you know?
She would be so good for that.
Right? Where it's, like, a 10-episode comedy thing.
She's just, like, a 24-year-old trying to get her shit together.
Yeah.
Oh, it's I
like,
watch that.
That's like the perfect role for her. Mm-hmm. I need that for her. I definitely do want to watch this movie again, knowing that no one was actually killed by a murderer. That'll be like interesting, knowing that there's nothing happening and that they're all just like overreacting over nothing.
Yeah.
Because it's nice like that the twist comes in at the end where you're like, oh, haha. But I now want to go back with just watching them all run around pretending someone's in the house when it's no one there.
And also just the way that they build this like tension around a looming thing that doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think was going to happen?
So I definitely thought that one of them was going to be vengeful. Oh, everyone's back at the party. There's this hurricane. Perfect time to kill somebody.
Right.
Or all of them. I thought that the killer was going to be Jordan.
Yeah.
It really made it seem like it was going to be her. But then it would also, I thought, was going to be B at points.
I never really thought it was going to be B. I kind of did think it was going to be Sophie, her girlfriend.
Yeah.
So the backstory of Sophie and Jordan is that they dated. And as we find out in the movie, they did actually hook up a few nights before this trip. And so Sophie has cheated on B with Jordan. Jordan's character is intentionally not likable. Mm-hmm. She's very aloof. As Rachel's character says, something along the lines of like, you know, you always get scared when you've been drinking that people don't like you because you're a bitch. Well, it's true. And that's like, oh my God, that's the most horrifying idea.
I could, if this ever happened to me, I would off myself.
Oh, I would be like, who has the gun?
Yeah.
Pass
I will be the killer.
Yeah.
For myself.
I simply cannot put up with finding out all of my friends hate me.
Mm-hmm. That's the real fear in this movie.
Oh yeah. That's the real antagonist in this movie.
Truth.
And so they kind of set it up like Jordan is really aggressive toward B as sort of like a misplaced anger for Sophie. And they just kind of make it seem like she's slightly unhinged with that gun. She just shoots Rachel, whose name is actually in the movie
Alice.
She just shoots Alice because Alice won't shut up. And she is not super in control of herself.
No. She also grabbed that meat cleaver earlier. It had the like steps to show she could be a killer.
Well, they kind of set up a motive and an energy about her that could easily lead you to believe it was her. But I kept telling myself, if that's true, then they're trying to make us think it's her and it's not going to be her.
What were your thoughts on Emma, Chase Suey Wonders? Wonders,
she was maybe the least fleshed out character. And I didn't have many thoughts about her at all, actually.
She was in a show on HBO Max called Generation.
Okay.
I loved her character in that. I feel like they kind of threw her into this movie knowing that she was having a rise.
Oh, she was just kind of a get.
Yeah. I loved when they were like, you can't play this game because every time we play, you're going to cry. She's like, no, I won't. And then she's crying on the couch. Yeah. I was like, that would be me too.
And I felt like her sort of relationship with Pete Davidson was another one of those things that kind of helped build the environment of this friend group mm-hmm. and these personality types. Like, we needed their influence in that group. And like that whole conversation once again about their relationship and gaslighting and the dynamic between Pete Davidson and Lee Pace's character, Jeff.
It was Greg.
Greg? Did I say Jeff?
Mm-hmm.
I meant Greg.
Did you say Jeff in the synopsis?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I don't remember.
Fuck me. I love Greg. He's the best. I feel like we kind of needed all of that to like create tension in mm-hmm. the very, very beginning. But I also found all of their characters, well, not all of them, Pete Davidson and Emma, I found to just be like kind of useless.
Well, because Emma really just goes to sleep for majority of the movie. Then she falls down the stairs and dies.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens with her character. And I wish she was kind of in it more because I do enjoy her as an actress. But I understand that they have to have those characters that not everyone has to be the focal point. Imagine there's like still six of them at the end.
Wouldn't
and then
fun.
They all go fast.
Yeah.
It wouldn't hit the same.
Which death did you find to be the most either satisfying or unbelievable?
Most satisfying, I think, was Jordan's being pushed off the stairs.
That was good.
Onto
the
glass table.
I did see it coming, though.
Yes. It was just there and you're like, she's going to get pushed off the stairs.
Yeah.
That one I enjoyed the most and was also like the most satisfying. You have that hatred towards Jordan as a character.
Mm-hmm.
The most unrealistic was Emma falling down the stairs.
Okay, someone falling down the stairs is more unrealistic than a person macheteing their own throat.
But with enough force.
I mean, honestly, I feel like we've actually heard of TikTok deaths happening like this, so you're right.
I just picture like, okay, you fall down the stairs, you probably will get bruised. It's not concrete stairs. I don't think you're going that fast down those stairs. It was a curved staircase.
I guess it depends on, the materials of the stairs. But also, if you're super on drugs.
That's true.
Well, no, because apparently going limp is helpful in terms of not sustaining injury. So you'd think if you're on drugs and drinking, you'd be more likely to not tense as much.
Mm-hmm.
Bracing for impact.
Also, I think when you're, like, tumbling down the stairs, you kind of just don't have anything to... You know, when you've fallen downstairs and you just try to grab something, but you're just like, you go. It's so embarrassing what happens in front of people.
It's so fucking embarrassing. And living where we live, where it's a skating rink half the year. Yes. Oh, you're falling in front of people.
You can just be walking, just minding your business. And all of a sudden you are bracing your back for impact.
Yeah.
What about you?
Favorite death or?
Yeah. Same question where most unrealistic.
I guess.
Is yours Pete Davidson?
Yeah, that just felt a little silly. But also, it's not... There are so many anomalies, like real-life deaths, that you're like, how could that ever have happened?
Yeah.
That I guess I can't really fight the legitimacy of that.
Do you remember the show 1,000 Ways to Die?
Oh, yeah. I found the death of Greg to be the most interesting just because it was the only one that really... Wow, B killed two people. B really is the killer. She killed Greg and she killed Jordan.
Yeah.
I hadn't really thought about that before. The one thing about Greg's death is I felt like it was a good plot point in us seeing what B is capable of to sort of cast more confusion about who the killer really could be.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like, if she didn't think that he was going to kill them, she wouldn't have killed him.
That's true.
Unless it was like all for show and she was a straight up mastermind, which I never did think that.
No. But it kind of plays out like it could be a mastermind thing.
Kind of.
Because the whole school thing.
Yes.
But like that was just like her protecting her identity because right. she doesn't know these people. And you're trying to put on a show for people.
And dating someone for 6 weeks is 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And you're going to a hurricane party.
Which is one of the most out-of-touch concepts I've ever heard of.
I know. I was like, okay. But I guess it makes sense for everybody to be in the same place, but also to have a party.
Well, I was thinking about how, where we live, like, you could very easily have, like, a winter party where you know a blizzard is coming, so you hunker down with friends for 3 days. And that sounds lovely.
It also sounds awful.
It also sounds awful. And the idea of like having the privilege to do that when other people's homes are like lacking heat and other people are unhoused, it just feels really insensitive. But once again, part of the point of this movie is that these people are extremely wealthy and out of touch. So. Yeah.
I also, one of my favorite things that I saw someone post online was the end of the movie past Pete Davidson's death, when Jordan says to check her text messages, is like one of the most like depressing but like crazy things, like that someone's last words were. They all know Sophie's just not saying anything. Yeah. But then the fact that both of them at the end are fighting for the phone in the mud instead of for the gun is like kind of crazy.
It's also kind of telling that neither one of them ever was motivated or intended to kill people when they're not fighting over the gun, but rather they're two women in a relationship who are fighting over the phone, because at this point it's just about whether or not she actually cheated on her, which is also kind of crazy that like this whole thing has happened and you're like, but did you fuck that girl?
But also, like, B knows she found the underwear in her car.
But she wants to see them damn text messages.
And, like, what else are you going to get?
I mean, to be fair, I'd also want to know. Yeah, just validation. To know.
Yeah. Yeah. Because what if it's just, like, a random accident that your underwear is in the back of your girlfriend's car?
Or what if Jordan planted them there because she's trying to come between them?
Cause that's very true.
We've proven that she is not happy with this relationship.
Yeah, because we are not Team Jordan.
Also, I love that we just get to have queer people in movies now without it being a thing. Like, people are just
gay. It's the idea of, like, having queer people in movies without the idea of having to have them come out.
Yes, 100%.
Which is great.
And, or without like, it being a plot point at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's very nice to see. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, it just feels, it's normal is what it is.
And that's the thing about this generation is that it is normal. Everybody's a little bit gay. And everybody's okay with it and talks about it, and it's not a thing. That's kind of the same idea of what we were talking about before, is you can tell when it's an older white writer trying to write people that they don't understand. Is that's when you get, well, it's a coming out story or it's a gay betrayal or a bury your gays trope. When it's just straight up queer people writing queer people, they're like, yeah, they're just gay because they're fucking gay. And then they get to go home. Well, and guess what? They didn't die. True. We love that. We love a gay triumph.
One did die. Sorry, I feel like Alice is a bisexual.
Alice is giving absolute pansexual vibes.
Yeah. Okay, not bisexual.
Alice's energy is like, I just love who I love.
You're right. So. That is very Alice. Mm-hmm. Aside from the movie, this house that they filmed in.
Oh, yeah.
I went and like kind of did some research on it. So I was like, it is a massive house. So instead of just using it for exterior shots, they shot like on the full estate. It's known as the Rosewood. It's also known as the Georgian Stone Manor Estate. It is priced at $6.75 million in July 2021. And then it was taken off the market.
And where is it?
Bought it. It's in New York State. It was built in 2004. 20,456 square feet, which is insane. 6 bedrooms, 10.5 baths on 86 acres of land. Has a two-story mahogany library, a billiard parlor, wine cellar, media room, gym, sauna, indoor basketball court, and a chef's kitchen. But the main selling point of why this house was so, like, wanted and, like, why it's so expensive is that there's a secret passageway that can be found in the master wing to, like, get places.
I love nothing more than a secret passage.
Right? It also has hiking trails on the estate, sport courses, a pool, a cabana, and a landscaped pergola.
We need to add this to the list of podcaster houses.
Yes, it is crazy. The production designer, April Lasky, said that she found the empty estate ideal for a COVID-era production because having everybody in one space instead of having to build a studio and have everything would be so much easier because they could have, with it being such a big space, they could have, like, downstairs be the makeup room, which they did use, and, like, they had the wardrobe, and everywhere was able to have a place, as well as, like, the studio being the main part of the house and the rooms.
That would be so much more convenient than having to shoot at, like, a studio and then going offset to other locations and things like that.
The director, Helena, Director Helena Rain asked for as much prep time as possible on set, So they essentially blocked everything out like a stage play. And she asked everybody to learn their lines like a stage play so they could just, like, kind of go through and do bigger shots. Mm. Which I think is kind of fun now, like, looking back at it. Like, it does kind of act like a play in some ways. Mm-hmm. It's almost like Knives Out in a way.
It does have a sort of Knives Out feeling. Yeah, it does.
And I really enjoyed it. And a lot of the actors were like, yeah, like, let's do that. Like, it'll be so much more fun. And so they were able to, like, rehearse their lines and rehearse everything before bringing the cameras in.
Mm. Well, I heard that the body dysmorphia line is actually just something that Rachel said on set. And then the director was like, I'm really sorry, but can we use that? And
she amazing. Said yes. Yeah. I love that. Also, a lot of, like, the lighting was all natural mm-hmm. because they didn't, like I said, have to build a set. So most of the iPhones were used as lighting, which was classic. Like, they had flashlights outside.
And also, they had, like, a full table of tactical gear, and they just didn't use any of it, which was infuriating.
Would you?
Yes.
I guess.
If but I'm they in a grabbed... house where the power went out because there's a hurricane, and there's a headlamp and some flashlights, are you kidding?
Right. You said tactical gear, and my mind went to, like, weaponry.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Like, no, I was like, I don't remember there being a full table of knives.
No, but I also do love how Gen Z looks at a bag with a knife and a map and immediately was like, well, this guy's a murderer. And yeah. not just like, well, this guy's 46.
Like, he literally just, like, probably
prepared.
Yeah. Also probably, you know, doesn't use Google Maps that often and probably uses an actual map.
And that also knew reason. That you guys were going through a hurricane and prepared as such.
Yeah. That would be you. You're Greg. I think I'm Emma.
No, you're Rachel. Sorry. You are Alice.
No.
Not in a bad way.
No, like, in a good way?
Yeah, in a good way.
This is the highest compliment I think I've ever gotten in my whole life.
That is absolutely true. You bring that, like, fun energy to a room and a conversation.
We can end the podcast. That's it.
I'm actually retiring.
Yep. I'm done. I have a little tears in my eyes. This is beautiful. Thank you so much.
I'm so happy for you.
Anyways, crazy that they just had this house available to them.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that Helena is actually a Dutch actress and this was her first film that she ever made in English?
No.
Yeah. A stunning start.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So she said she was an actress. So was she doing movies or like TV or both? Do you know?
I don't actually know. And I think she did direct movies before in the Netherlands, but this is her first movie in America and her first English.
I'm just going to do a little quick Google search. Wow, she has a lot on her IMDb page. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's in a lot.
Is she?
She was in Valkyrie.
Oh, okay.
That 2008 political war thriller movie.
Right.
Her directorial debut, though, for non-English was a movie called Instinct in 2019.
Hmm. So she's not been in the game all that long in terms of directing. It was a fantastically made film. Like, it is really... like, technically, it's a really good movie. The lighting is really great. The mm-hmm. sets are really great. Just the general stylisticness of it all is really awesome. Like, it's so fun to look at.
Also, you know I love it. The soundtrack for this movie.
Also really good.
It is, like, right up my alley of all the music I listen to, mm-hmm. like, daily. Like, this is my, like, soundtrack to my life. I was in the back of the theater, like, lip-syncing along. I was going hard.
As you should. As is your God-given right.
It has so, like, and the Charlie XCX song, I sing that song, like, on a daily.
What is that song? Which one is that?
I'm a hot girl, pop girl, rich girl. That's the end credit song. Oh, okay. So good. And they had, like, Shy Girl, love her. Slater, love her. Azealia Banks, controversial, great artist.
A witch.
also a witch. Great, great artist. And, like, even the soundtrack for the movie, the score was, like, really good, too. And it, like, fit very, very well.
I agree.
Did you know that this week, Amanda Stenberg released a song Mm-mm. called Alice, which was inspired by a backstory that her and Rachel made up on set with Bodies, Bodies, Bodies coming to streaming services and like video on demand. She like they made this as a joke just for fun, but then they were like, maybe we should like release it instead of it just being like a funny little improv thing. And it's about her and Rachel having a romantic past.
Do like, they actually?
No, sorry. Sophie and Alice.
So she characters. Has a romantic past with Alice and
yeah.
Jordan.
Yeah.
Honestly, canonically gay.
Yeah. And the opening line of the song is, I hate your pussy over nothing. You didn't tell me you were straight. You got a boyfriend named Dustin. He doesn't have a bed frame.
tattoo it on my lower back.
It's so good. It's a fun song.
Tattoo it over my vagina. I hate your pussy.
Get it wrapped around your hips.
Absolutely.
Ugh. Anyways, fun little song. The next thing I have is Rachel Sennett quotes. Okay. So Rachel Sennett, as we know, Alice, has the most iconic lines in this whole movie. I also feel like her character is like kind of genuine because she's never lying. Like, she's a little dumb and naive, but like,
I don't know that she's ever lying, but she definitely likes to play both sides. Yeah. Whatever anyone in a room is saying, that's what she thinks and agrees with.
Yeah, like, she's not wearing a mask like a lot of the other people are. It's like a what you see is what you get.
That is authentically her.
Yeah. I have like a couple favorites.
Okay.
I love when she's talking with Jordan about how long she's known Greg for. They're asking her, like, how she met Greg, what their date was, you know, do you know his middle name? And she's like, you guys stop. He's a good person. He's like fundamentally a good person. He wouldn't do this. Our first date was at a bar. He drank like a medium amount. He likes nature. He's a Libra moon. You don't have to ask what your middle name is, okay? For a really long time, he's a Libra moon, and that says a lot. And I just like, I was like, yeah, it does say a lot.
Conversations we've all had.
You want to know what their star sign is before their middle name.
Yeah, I don't really care. Like, when is your middle name relevant to me and never. Our relationship? Never. Your moon? Very yes. relevant.
I need to know. What is your moon sign?
Taurus.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm a Cancer moon.
Mm, so. Makes sense. What's your mm-hmm. rising?
Scorpio.
Ooh.
I know. Very interesting. It's an interesting mix. What can you do? We've talked about her being shot with a gun and saying that it hurts. That's great. The borderline, or saying that her mom has borderline and that she's like, I have body dysmorphia. Also great. When Greg dies.
Yes.
Jordan's kind of talking about how logistically on paper, he is the one.
He had to go.
Who has motive to yeah. kill them because he served in the military as a vet in Iraq or Afghanistan is what Sophie said. And Jordan. And Alice was like, well, no, he was a veterinarian.
She goes, he wasn't a vet. And they're like, you said he was a vet. She goes, a veterinarian.
And she goes, but more specifically, a vet's assistant. And they're like, well, why did you call him G.I. Joe? And she goes, look at him. Oh, so great. And then, of course, the one that is most relevant to us. Everyone's kind of fighting in the kitchen before Alice gets shot by Jordan. I think Sophie is the one that says it, like, to Alice, they're like, Jordan doesn't even like your podcast. And she groans. And she's like, first of all, a podcast takes a lot of work. Okay. I love it when she says okay in this movie mm-hmm. because she drags it on. And it's like kind of whiny. She's like, you have to organize the guests. You have to do a Google Calendar. And then you have to build a following. And it takes a lot of fucking time. And I've been working on it for a while, okay? And then she goes, nobody likes you. And I'm like, great.
Yeah.
And then she gets shot. It and then they always, they go, let her have her podcast.
Exactly. Which I feel like is all of our friends at yeah. us. And like, I constantly find myself in conversations where I'm like, I know a lot of mediocre white people have podcasts. I get it. But like, I went to broadcasting college. I have a right to be behind a microphone.
And I don't.
Like, listen, it's by association. It's fine.
Well, it's also like, what is her podcast called? The Smart One and the Funny One or something like that?
She never says what it's called, but they're like, "What?" The B goes, what's your podcast? And she goes, it's hanging out with your smartest, funniest friend, which is also us.
I know.
My roommate was laughing like a little too hard at that point, and I was like, I don't act like that. And the way she said, okay, felt not supportive.
Yeah, I remember in the theater, everybody looked at me, and I was like,
I'm not asking for your opinion right
now. Yeah, but thank you for the acknowledgement that I have a podcast that only one of you listens to. Listen, that's all I kind of got to say about this movie.
That's all I got. You want to rate it?
Yeah.
Oh, scary. Doesn't apply.
No.
It's a one.
There's some, like, tense moments where sure. they're, like, in the dark.
Yeah.
And they're, like, hiding from each other.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, those are, like, a little tense. One. I would stay with that.
I know what it is. I just
unsettling.
Can't think of it. Unsettling.
One.
Three.
Okay. Hurricanes are scary.
Hurricanes are scary. And, like, the idea that your friends might kill you at any given time. Also spooky.
But that could be any day of the week, you know?
Story.
Here's the thing. The story itself like a 6.
But the characters are and the, so
and
well
And the writing
built.
Itself.
Yeah. An 8.
An 8. That's a new little thing, but we're not going to continue that. It just gets a special mention.
Is it a paper cut or is it a bloody massacre?
It's a bloody massacre.
In a different genre than what yeah. we usually do. Yeah. I fully agree with that.
It just like, it really ticks a lot of boxes it for me. And it has a good rewatchability.
Yes, absolutely. I cannot wait to watch it again.
Mm-hmm. It might be like one of those movies that I add to like my Halloween list every year.
I also think it's something you can throw on at any time and like it's not going to give you a weird feeling. You're just like, yeah. this is a funny movie.
I also think like this is one of those movies that like horror fans and non-horror fans could love.
I agree. Like this is not something that I would be second guess showing to a person who doesn't like horror.
Mm-hmm. Like our friend who I went to the movie with who never goes to scary movies, this is something I think that she would very much enjoy.
She would love this because mm-hmm. she's a person who likes social commentary.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's that on that. Follow us on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram at Podcastacre. You can send us an email at thebloodypodcastacre@gmail.com. Leave us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It makes a big difference and we would appreciate it.
Very much.
Until next time.
This is not a safe space.